If you have a Bible, you can turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you again this morning and ask that you would pour out your Spirit upon us. That, Lord, you would guide and direct us through your Word. That you would help us to receive from you, Lord, and not to forget these things, but to keep them and to live by them. Father, we pray that the entrance of your Word would bring light to our hearts this morning. We pray, Lord, that you would sanctify us, make us better, make us more like yourself through your truth, Lord. And Father, we just look to you. We give ourselves to you. We're ready to hear from you this morning, Lord. I pray that you would use me. I pray that you would open the ears of those who are here, that we would be hearers, Lord, and also doers of your Word. And in that we shall be blessed. Father, we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Let's just read together before we start our Bible study. I'm going to read the entire section from verse 13 to verse 18 so you can follow with me in your Bibles. It says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." This morning we're looking at, really, a message of comfort. A message that is designed to bring us hope and comfort in this world. I think many of you know that there are difficulties in life. If you don't know that, I wonder how long you have lived. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, tribulation. But he also said, don't worry, because I have overcome the world. Jesus, we know, is the one who loves us, who has saved us from our sins, but Jesus has also given us a promise that is given to bring us hope and comfort in this life. Did you know that? A promise about not the past, not the present, but a promise about the future. And it's given really throughout the Bible. If you'll read it throughout prophecy, the study of those events that have yet to be fulfilled. And here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in our passage this morning, we see one of those portions of Scripture that is really given by God so that we can have hope and comfort in the future because of a future event. And that event, as we see this morning, is called by many in the church, the rapture of the church. Maybe you've heard of it before. Maybe you haven't. Maybe you like it. Maybe you don't. But this morning we're going to take a closer look at the rapture of the church. But first of all, it starts off in verse 13, "I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren." I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to not know something important, is what he is saying. I don't want you to be people who don't know what's going on. You know, there are those people in this world who really, they just don't know what's going on. The lights are on, but nobody's home. And some of us can tend to be like that concerning certain issues. You wonder, hello, is anybody in there? God doesn't want us to be ignorant. He doesn't want us to not know about something very important that will happen in this world. And that's what Paul is talking about here. I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren. And then he's talking about concerning those who have fallen asleep. Those who have fallen asleep. He actually says it a couple of times in this passage. Well, some of you who read that may be thinking, what's the big deal? Someone has fallen asleep. Then the next morning, of course, they'll wake up, right? Well, here in the Bible and in other places, this term falling asleep is kind of a nice way to say those who have died. I think you remember Lazarus. You remember him? And Jesus, he had such, the family of Lazarus and Mary and Martha, they were good friends of Jesus when he was on the earth. And they sent a message to Jesus saying, come quickly, Lazarus, your servant, or the one you love, he's sick. And he's going to die. And so Jesus waits there. He didn't come immediately, and then the disciples were kind of asking him, are we going, you know, and Jesus said, Lazarus is sleeping. And his disciples said, well, you know, they were a bit clever. Well, if he's sleeping, then he will wake up again. Right? And then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. So, throughout the church, and in the beginning of the church, really, in these letters that were written, that term, those who are asleep, is talking about people who have died. I heard from one man, it's an ultimate statistic. 10 out of 10 people will die. Did you know that? I love to use that when preaching the gospel. Because the truth is that some people, they don't really, or they're not ready to die. Maybe they don't even kind of think that it will happen to them. You know, that's death is what happens to other people, not me. In fact, I was reading in the people section of the New Vision, March 28th, this guy, Jose Chameleon. Have you heard of him before? He's a popular singer, dancer, whatever he does. And this is what he said. They were asking people about death. Are you ready for death? Or even, are you preparing? And he said, I'm too young to think about death. I do not believe people should prepare for their death, he said. B.B. Cool. Have you heard of him before? I think he's another popular music artist here in Uganda. They asked him. And he said, death is a bad thing. He said, it's not what I would wish for anyone. And then he said, I have not prepared for death because I don't see it coming for me in the near future. The truth is this, death is coming for all of us. And the question really should be not, is death going to happen to me? The question is, what should I do in my life to prepare for death? And how should we as Christians deal with the issue of death? I think you've been to a burial, to a funeral, I have too, and it's usually a very sad place. We're going to get to that in a few verses. But it happens to all of us. In fact, every hour, 5,417 people die around the world. Did you know that? Every single hour. So from the time that you came in here to this church service until the time of the end of the service, 5,417 people will die. Is that serious? Maybe I should tell that to our Jose Chameleon or B.B. Cool. Jesus said, talking about people kind of like that, Luke chapter 12 and verse 19, he says, I will say to my soul, this is talking about someone who's doing well in life, who's not thinking about death. I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. That's what this man, this prosperous man, said to himself. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you, then whose will those things be which you have provided? You see what the Lord said? The man said to himself, I don't have to think about death. It's a long ways away. I'm only 27 years old. I'm a young guy. I don't have to think about death. It's far in the future. That's what happens to old people. And even old people say, I'm just pretty old, but there are much older people, and that's far away, that death. And God said to this man, he said, you fool. He was foolish because he wasn't ready to die. He had not prepared himself for what happens after death. Did you know something happens after death? Some people believe when you die, you just kind of go into a nothing. You just kind of cease to exist anymore, but that's not true. In fact, even in Paul's day, when this was written, that was kind of the feeling of most of the people. You just die and that's the end. So you might as well have a good life and then you're going to die and that's the end of everything. A typical inscription on a grave in Paul's day, they would write something on the grave, was this: I was not, I became, I am not, and I care not. That's what it's talking about this guy who died. I was nothing, then I was here on earth, and then now I'm dead, I'm nothing again. That's not the truth. The truth is this: when your body dies, you don't really die. You keep on living. And the real question is, this morning, we're going to talk about the rapture, don't worry, is what are you going to do after you die? I told you about the young man who wanted to be a lawyer. And the old man of God came to him and said to this young man, what are you going to do with your life? The young man says, well, I'm going to go to university and get my degree and I'm going to study law and be a lawyer. And the old man said, that's great, then what? And the young man said to him, well, then I'm going to get out and I'm going to start my own practice. I'm going to really be the best lawyer that Uganda has ever seen. The old man of God said, well, then what? He said, well, then I'm going to get a wife and a family, and I'm going to have a big house and a nice car. And the old man said, well, then what? He said, then I'm going to retire with lots of money in my bank, and I'm going to just travel the world and have a nice time. The old man said, well, then what? The young man started to get a bit disturbed. What is this old guy talking about? The old man said, then what? And he said, well, then I'm just going to, you know, I'm just going to relax and grow old with my family. And the old man said, well, then what? And the young man was getting so angry, he said, well, then I guess I'll just die. And the old man said, then what? You see, death is not the end of people's existence. We are more than just this body. Did you know that? We have a soul, a life that God has given to each human being that will continue to exist after the body is dead. In fact, the Bible says this about death. It is appointed for man once to die. You have an appointment. I have an appointment. Maybe it's today. Maybe Pastor Brian's going to walk out into the street and get knocked by a lorry. Was that a negative confession? No. But we have an appointment with death. God has planned a day for each person to die. The Bible says it is appointed for man once to die, and after that, the judgment. We will stand before God. And that's what people need to get ready for. You, me, B.B. Cool, we need to be ready to stand before God. I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, those who have died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. And this is talking to us. When I say us, I'm talking about believers in Jesus Christ. I think most of us this morning believe in Jesus. We have accepted Him as our Lord and as our Savior, and we're kind of ready for death. But the Bible says here that you sorrow as others who have no hope. This should be our attitude about death, those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ. This is our attitude about death, and that is that death no longer is a bad thing. Remember, he said, I believe death is a bad thing. I wouldn't wish it upon anybody. And I kind of agree with that, but Christians, we know that death for us is not a bad thing. In fact, death, we know, is not the end. Really, it is only the beginning of something better. Did you know that? You can think of it as shifting house or moving, right? We're moving from this house. The Bible says our bodies are like a tent, a temporary house. That's what the Bible says, a kind of a house for our soul. And when this temporary tent is destroyed, you know, some of us are getting a bit older and the tent is getting destroyed. That's what happens to things when they get older. It's okay. It's natural. But the tent is getting destroyed, and one day we will move out of this temporary house into a better house. A dwelling place, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, the Bible says. We're moving. We're shifting house. That's all. And we know what happens after death. I don't want you to be ignorant about what happens after death, about those who have died, so that you'll sorrow as those who have no hope. Listen to this. Without Jesus, there is no hope. Death is not a good thing for those who have not been saved. That's the truth. Because we are going to a better place, they are going to a far worse place. In fact, it has been said that this life is the closest to hell that believers will ever get. But this life really is the closest to heaven that non-believers will ever get. Because of what happens at the end. We have a hope. A hope that after death we're going to a better place. So when you're at a burial, when you're at a funeral, it's okay to be sad. You don't go there and say, oh, Pastor Brian said, you know, we're not supposed to be sad, we're supposed to be happy. I think we're sad at the funeral, we're sad at the grave, but let us be sad for ourselves, believers, Christians. Let us be sad for ourselves because we know that our loved ones who are saved are going to a better place. I guarantee you they are not crying in the place they are. Amen? And we're sad because we know we won't see them for a long time. But if they have put their faith in Jesus Christ, we know we will see them again. All of us, I think, have lost loved ones, have lost friends and family members, those who have died in the Lord, and one day we will see them again. That day is talked about right here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's continue on in our study. Our assurance, our hope after death, is based upon the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He says in verse 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again," I hope that we all believe that today, "even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." That hope we have, our future hope, talking again about the rapture, is based upon the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We believe that he died for our sins, and, do you remember Easter? We believe that he rose again from the dead. Praise the Lord. That he is alive today. And because he rose again from the dead, because he experienced a resurrection, the Bible promises that we will experience a resurrection. We will raise from the dead, never to die again. In verse 15, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep." And from verses 15 to verse 18, it's talking about this event of the rapture. You see, the believers here had questions about death. What happens to my loved one at death? Because Paul had preached to them previously about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That Jesus is going to come back again. Did you know that? Jesus is coming back again. And Paul had preached that to them. In fact, Jesus had even said to his disciples, the angel said to the disciples, "In the same way you saw Jesus go out through the clouds, up into heaven," we say, "he will come back again in that same way." From the very beginning, from the time Jesus left this earth, he has given us a promise, "I am coming back again." And the Bible teaches that some people will not die. I said 10 out of 10 people die. That may be false. Because there are going to be people who are alive when the Lord comes back to receive his people to himself. I think it's going to be me. Maybe you. One thing is for sure, it's going to be soon. And here it's talking, they had questions about their dead loved ones. They knew about the coming of the Lord, but they said, "Well, we're going to be here." You know, they expected to be here when the Lord came back. These people, these believers, they were waiting for him. They were ready for him to come back, which is how we should all be. And they said, what about the ones who have died already? Are they going to miss out on when Jesus comes back for us? Will they miss out because they are already dead? And that's really the answer here. He says, no, they won't miss out. In fact, those who have died in the Lord are going to come back with Jesus. They are going to precede those who are alive. They're going to be first in line. So if you die today, it's okay. You'll be first in line from those who are alive when Jesus comes back to receive us to himself. The Lord is coming back. It is a promise. And even this truth we're looking of here is seen in John chapter 14. I wrote this in your notes. John chapter 14, verse 1 through 3. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Did you see what Jesus said? He's talking to us, his disciples, those who believe in him, those who believe in God and who believe in Jesus is the Son of God. He said, I am going to prepare a place for you, and if I go away, then I will come back and do what? Receive you to myself. So we can go back to the place I've prepared. Are you ready for that day? I love it. A musician named Keith Green, he was a man of God, a worship leader. He said one time, he said, you know, it took God 6 days to create the world, everything we know about. It took him 6 days, but he's been working on heaven for 2,000 years. It must be a great place. Praise the Lord. It must be a far better place than here. And Jesus is coming to bring us to that place. Are you excited? Are you ready? Praise God. Here in verse 16, it says, and it describes what will happen in the future from today. Now, this has not already happened. This is not just kind of figurative language talking about some other thing. This is going to happen in the future from today, these events. And it says, the Lord himself, not an angel, not a messenger, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Do you see this event described here in the Bible? The reason why I'm kind of taking a little bit of time here is because many people, they kind of just skip over this event. And they kind of just think, well, you know, these details are kind of confusing, so let's just skip it. Much like the book of Revelation. Have you ever read it before? Have you read the book of Revelation? The first time I read the book of Revelation, I read through it and I thought, is that a different language that I just read? What is going on there? What are they talking about? All of these things. If you haven't, if you don't know what I'm talking about, go home and read the book of Revelation. But as I started to study the Bible and really learn from good teaching and teachers, I started to see that these are events that will happen in the future. It's called prophecy. I think you've heard of it. It's in the Old Testament. Book of Isaiah, Jeremiah, and the rest of the prophets. It was people inspired by God to speak something that is going to happen in the future. Did you know that Christ's first coming was prophesied about? Did you know that? Very detailed. Even the way where he would be born, what city he would live in, how he would die. That none of his bones would be broken, that they would gamble for his clothes. That was prophesied about hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years earlier. Very detailed prophecies about Jesus' first coming. And guess what? They were all fulfilled exactly as they were prophesied. Praise the Lord. They pierced his hands and his feet. That was prophesied about. And there were prophecies, many of them, about the first coming of Jesus Christ. But listen, you say, We need to listen. That there are also prophecies about the second coming of Jesus Christ. When He comes back again. And it is exciting for me, personally, to study about those prophecies. To learn about those events that will precede the coming of Jesus Christ. We're not going to talk about them this morning. All of them. By the way, just a preview. In October, we're going to have a big crusade. We're going to work together with some other churches in Kampala and rent one of these stadiums here. We're going to have a big crusade. And it's going to kind of be a five-day event. I'm speaking by faith here. It's going to be a five-day event, and it's going to be kind of a conference together with a crusade. We'll meet at some different churches in Kampala, and it'll be a conference on living in the last days. A pastor from the United States named Ray Bentley and some others are going to come and teach about these things of living in the last days. To get people, so people won't be ignorant about these things. Because someday, listen to this, one day, all of a sudden you're going to be working or you're going to be at school or you're going to be doing something and you're going to hear a trumpet sound. You're going to hear a loud voice, loud, shouting. You're going to hear the voice of the archangel, and all of a sudden, boom, you're going to be gone. Don't you want to know what that is before it happens? What will happen at the rapture? And that's described here. There will be a shout from the Lord, it says. The Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout. And that is literally an authoritative command, like a military leader would give to his troops, a command. Much like when Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus. You remember that? Lazarus was asleep. He was dead. And he went to the tomb, and do you remember they said, roll away the tomb, roll away the stone from the entrance? And they said, Jesus, are you sure? Because it's going to stink. It's going to smell bad in there. Jesus said, roll away the stone from the door of the tomb. And you remember what Jesus did? He gave a shout. He said, Lazarus, come forth. You remember that? And out came this guy who was dead, but now he was alive. They said, take the grave clothes off him. And one man rightly said, if Jesus didn't say, Lazarus, come forth, then everybody would have come forth. Praise the Lord. He said, come forth, all of them. He had to specify. The same will be true for us at this event. The Lord will descend. And He will give a shout, come up here. Read the book of Revelation. It happened to John the Beloved as he was given these visions. Come up here. The voice of the archangel, probably Michael, and a trumpet will sound. So when you hear all of those things, you can kind of get ready, kind of bend your knees a little bit. Because we're going to meet the Lord in the air. The Bible says it right there, doesn't it? At Bible college, I used to have rapture training with my roommate at the Bible college. And so we would stand outside and kind of jump. The word rapture, some people have said to me, you know, the rapture, that's not true. The word isn't even in the Bible. Actually, it depends on which translation you have. If you have a Latin translation, then the word rapture is in the Bible. It is a translation of the Greek word. Pastor Josh is going to be proud of me today because he's a Greek scholar. You may not have known that about Pastor Josh. He will be proud of me when I get home. He'll say, you didn't say that right. It's supposed to be like this. Harpazo. All right. Got the okay. The New Testament originally was written in the Greek language. I think you know. And this is a translation in English, and we have different translations. Harpazo, I said it again, I'm being risky here, is the Greek word where we get the words in English, caught up. Did you see that there in our Bible? Verse 17, we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. That's harpazo. And the rapture, the word rapture comes from the Latin translation of harpazo. In the Latin, the first real translation, the Latin Vulgate, long time ago. That was the word. And so that's where we got this word from. You don't even have to use the word rapture if you don't feel comfortable with that. If it sounds different, you can say the caught up. Amen. Are you ready for the caught up? The word really means even a violent pulling out of, is what the word literally means. Kind of a forceful extraction. You remember Paul when the Jews were starting a riot against him and the Roman soldiers had to go and rescue him. Do you remember that? They actually raptured him out of the mob, the violent mob. Same word. Harpazo. All right. Praise God. And the Lord is going to come and boom, even if you don't know how to jump, you're going. The dead in Christ will rise first, and this is the resurrection of the body, spoken of in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and other places. Remember I said Jesus rose from the dead, we will also experience a resurrection. The dead in Christ will be raised first, and those of us who are alive will be changed into our new bodies. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery." This is talking about the same event, the rapture. "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." What does it mean to sleep? Die. "We shall not all die. We shall not all sleep. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." So, some of you may think that you're pretty strong, pretty great, good-looking guys and girls. Unfortunately, your body is going to be changed into something better. Those of you who are a little bit sad about the way you are physically, maybe you're sick or you just have real problems, this is the best news you've heard all week. We're going to be changed. And you can read more in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 if you're interested in studying more about that transformation that will happen. But it will happen as the Lord shouts, come up here, the trumpet sounds, the archangel is there saying something too, I don't know what he's saying, and then our bodies will be changed. How fast is it going to take? Did you read it? In the twinkling of an eye. How fast is a twinkling of an eye? That's kind of like when you're in love with somebody, and you're looking into their eyes, and their eye kind of twinkles. I love you. Bing. We've had a lot of that at our place lately, but the twinkling of an eye. Is that bad? It's fast. We'll be changed. Boom. Before we even know it, you're going to hear the trumpet. What's that? The voice. What's that? And then boom, you're going to be up in the air. Your body's going to be different. And there's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not something that's going to happen far off into the future. It is something that we should be ready for today. The imminent return of Jesus Christ to get us. Now, this isn't the same as the second coming. He's going to bring us to the place He has prepared for us for 7 years, during which time the Bible speaks of a time of trouble on the earth like no other time, called the tribulation. If you're interested in that, I hope you have your pens. Revelation chapter 5 up to chapter 18. You can read about these terrible things that will happen while we're with the Lord. And then the Lord will come back, the Bible says, with His saints, with us. And you can read about that, the second coming in Revelation chapter 19, the second coming of Jesus Christ. And that's for another event. But this is what's going to happen next, the rapture, for us. And then people are going to say, "Hey, do you remember Pastor Brian in Calvary Chapel? Yeah, where are all those people?" I don't know. They were, and then they're going to read the Bible. They met the Lord in the air. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. And really, the teaching through prophecy, Bible prophecy, is very interesting. It's kind of, people like to do it just to have a nice time and to really get into the prophecy. But it is designed for one thing, and that is to bring us comfort, to bring us hope, knowing that Jesus is going to come back for us again. Amen? The question I want to ask you this morning, and I'm going to ask it next week in chapter 5. We're going to continue at the beginning of chapter 5. I'll ask it again next week. But the question really is this: are you ready? Are you ready? Because Jesus could come back next week. Jesus could come back tomorrow. Jesus could come back this evening. Jesus could come back in the next 2 minutes. Jesus could come back right now. Are you ready? Are you ready to hear that voice? To hear that trumpet? Are you ready for the Lord to come back? Because if you're not, today is the day you need to get right with Jesus Christ. Today is the day. Let's stand together. Jesus, we thank you this morning for the promise that you have given to us. The promise that, Lord, you are going to prepare a place for us and that you are going to come back to receive us to yourself. That where you are, we may be also. Lord, that is our hope. That is our desire. Our desire is to be with you, Lord. And Father, I pray this morning that if there are those here who are not ready or who do not have that desire to be with you, who say, Jesus, I want you to come back, just not today. Lord, I pray that you would change our hearts. Father, I pray that your return would be the greatest desire that we have. Greater than any desire to make money or to have a relationship. Greater than all of those things, Lord, for you to return. Father, we live in a terrible and a wicked world. Lord, we pray that you would come back. We pray that you would come back soon, Lord. And Father, we pray that for those who don't know you, who aren't ready, Lord, that we would be a gospel witness to them. That you would save them. So Father, this morning we pray that you would put these things into our hearts. Give us understanding, Lord. Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name.